Morning, Boker Tov, Guten Erev Rosh Hashanah, very time-related daf once again. So we were discussing yesterday, we had really from a couple days ago already, three different scenarios of 2 days in a row of Kedusha, whether or not the Kedusha connects or is separate. Nafkamin is an egg which is nailed on day one of that Kedusha, which we go up Hill, and we say in the Mishnah that it's Aser, will that egg remain Aser on the second day as well? So we had Shabbos followed by a Yom Tov on Sunday, or Yom Tov on Friday followed by Shabbos, that was the first case. We had a Machlekes Rav Rechon, we had a Machlekes Rav and Rav Asi about Yom Tov Sheni Shagolis. We have 2 days of Yom Tov in Chutz Laretz, we keep 2 days of Yom Tov in Chutz Laretz. What's the status of Beit Shalom on day one? Is it Mutar on day two? Do you say it's really just Sveika, and therefore Man of Shach is Mutar on day two? Or is it one new Kedusha, one long Kedusha, therefore it's Aser? In that case, Rav was the Kula, and Rav Asi was Machmir. And then the case we've been focusing on was a member from Rav Shmuel that on Rosh Hashanah, 2 days of Rosh Hashanah, specifically, where that is considered, even if Stamazai Yad Hashem Shigalis is not a Kedusha Richta, 2 days of Rosh Hashanah are considered one long Kedusha, Kedusha Richta, and therefore the Beit Anoda on the first day, there's us on the second day. Gemara then brought from Rabbah Kula that since Rabbi Chavazake said that we now accept Edus all the way to the end of the day, we fell off of that idea that we don't take Edus at the end of the day because there's a problem with the shear. And now there's no basic English, we're not worried about the shear. The shear that goes to the carpet, we're not worried about it. And therefore, we take Edus until the end of the day. So now a Beitza is going to be mutter because it really reverts back to being a suffix of whether or not it's a day one or day two, but it's either or. That was Rabba's member, but we bought three Adam Ram. That was the crux of yesterday's daf, where they argued and said, no, even after Merchem Zakas Xera, the Beitz of Shinoda on day one is Aser on day two. And that's Rav Shmuel indeed came after Merchem Zakas and still said it's Aser. So that would be the Pashtas that the egg remains Aser for various reasons given in the Amram. That was to the end of yesterday's daf. Now, one of the reasons given, which was a big focus of yesterday's daf, was Rabbi Yosef's, that a Bezdin that issued a Psak, it cannot be done unless another Bezdin comes and reverts that Psak. So we just pointed out yesterday that we were hemming and hawing a little bit that in the Shir, because the Lashon, we remember from Masechta Megillah, it's actually referring to Mishnah. In Masechta Idyas, the Lashon is that a Bezdin cannot undo the Psak, the Takana of a prior Bezdin, unless it's Gadol. Heymenu b'chacham of minyan. It's got to be greater. The next bezin has to be greater b'chacham of minyan, which is typically a big issue because not so. Even if you have a bigger minyan in the second bezin, chachma, then later generations have greater chachma. It's possible. It's absolutely possible, but it's a little unusual. Okay, but that's the requirement of the Mishnah Idyas. Agamar seems to be saying very simple. As long as you have another minyan, the leaders of the Sanhedrin of the Chazal has to get together and undo what the prior minyan, what the prior gathering did, but they don't have to be greater in minyan or greater in chachma. So it seems to be a different approach. It's almost a stira, a machlekes between our sugya and the Gemaras in Megillah / the Mishnah and Idyas. So Bechlal, there is a discussion. What does it mean, gadol b'minyan? Bezdin Sanhedrin was 71. How can you have a bigger Sanhedrin? Sanhedrin had a fixed number. Some want to say it means an age. The average age of Sanhedrin A was X age. It has to be greater in age than the Mishnah Idyas, which says it's got to be greater in minyan. It means greater in age, perhaps. Okay, that's a discussion over there. But bottom line is, how do we reconcile these two different approaches? So it's actually machlokes. Rambam Hilchos Mamre Perek Beis, he quotes the Mishnah Idyas that only if the second bezin is greater in chacham minyan could undo the first takana of the earlier generation. The Ravid says no. A parallel bezin can change it only if the reason is gone. I mean, the Rebbe is not fully arguing, but the Rebbe just is elaborating that what it means is the two dinim are not a stira. If there's no reason to change, there's no compelling reason that the din should change, meaning the reason behind the takana didn't fall away, so then you need a greater bezdin, greater chachma and minyan to undo it. But if the reason fell away, and I think someone in the Shir quoted this yesterday for the Masifta, he's getting it from the Rebbe, I think Liza quoted yesterday, if the reason for the takana, the reason behind the takana is no longer relevant, like the case of Rechamem Zakai, where the reason for the takana was that if Edu come later, the shear will get messed up. It would be after they already said the shear. Now the Nebuchadnezzar is no base of Migdash, there's no shear. So therefore it's no longer a concern. So if the reason's gone, says Ravid, the next Bezdin does not have to be greater or Chachma Meyin, they just have to gather together and they can undo the Psak. That's the Ravid's Hagdara. The Ravid actually brings our Gemara and he asks us a question on Rambam. Rambam seems to say across the board, so it's not so much that Rambam is explaining with Rambam. Rambam seems to say across the board, you always need a greater bezdin, greater chacham minyan. Asks the Rambam, but you see in our Gemara not. You see, Yechem Zaka came later, and he undid the takanas chachamim. So the Kesem Misha says, Menachami, Rambam will learn, Rabbi Yechem Zaka was greater. Just because he's late, came afterwards, doesn't mean he wasn't greater. He was greater. Whereas Reb Chaim Heller brings another answer. He wants to say that there's another nekuda, even according to Rambam. Even if you hold that a reason, the rebutlatan, lay balatakana, the reason being gone, is not a good enough reason to allow the bezdin of equal level to undo it. But when there's another compelling reason, an outside, besides for the original takana's logic being gone, what if there's another reason to undo the takana? For example, by the case of Kerem Ravai, where once there was no longer base of Mikdash, they would bring the payers into Yerushalayim, and no, they would do, if they didn't redeem it, they'd just let the payers into Yerushalayim, and then they would let the payers rot. So besides for the fact that the time was no longer relevant, there was another compelling reason, namely that they'd have to leave the Paris to rot. Having to leave this Paris to rot is not an exciting reason to bring Paris into your slime, to leave it to rot there. It's another reason against the original Takana, so to speak. When such a case, over there, even Rambam would agree, a Bezdin that's not greater, Chacham Minyan, could still undo it as long as they gather together as a Bezdin. So that's a qualification in Rambam that if you're only changing it because the reason, original reason is gone, needs to be greater Chacham Minyan. If there's another reason against it, then you don't even need to be greater Chacham Minyan. So these are two nekudas in this idea of undoing psakim of earlier bezdins, undoing it later. Again, either it needs to be greater Chacham Minyan, or according to Ravid, if the reason of the Rishikon is gone, it doesn't need to be greater, it just needs to be same size. Or even according to Ravid, it needs to be greater, it's only if the reason is still around, and there's no other compelling reason to undo it. But if you have both those nekudas, the reason's gone of the original takana, and there's a compelling reason against it, then you can undo it even with the later bezin. It's not as great. Okay, that's just an important discussion. There's more on that, but a discussion about this idea of bezdin and minyan. Okay, now we left off top of the amen. Amara, meis beyond division is asked about him. If a person Nebuch dies on the first day of Yom Tov, then who could take care of his burial? Goyim. Why? We have an idea of Kavod Abrius. We're worried about Kavod Abrius. And we have a concept of that Amir La'akam is only on the Drabbanon. So as Kavod Abrius, we're Deicha the Drabbanon, and we allow the mace to be buried by Goyim. And notice it's Tafka Yom Tov Rishon. Tafka Yom Tov. Why not Shabbos? Why not Yom Kippur? So Miri explains that even though we're saying that it's Kavod Abrius, it's Mutter, Amir La'akam, that's only on a Yom Tov where we already have other leniencies, such as Eichel Nefesh is mutter. Since we find other leniencies, we say also Amir Lach is mutter for Kavod Abrius. But on Shabbos or Yom Kippur, we're not going to say that. Okay, that is on Yom Tov Rishon. Meis Yom Tov Sheni. What if a person Nebuch dies on Yom Tov Sheni? Yisasku by Yisrael. Even a Yid could deal with the burial. Va'afilu b'shnei Yom Tovim b'shel Rosh Hashana mashen kemi beitza. And this we're saying applies even by Yom Tov Rosh Hashana, even though we just said by beitza, we just came out that by the egg that's nailed on the first day Yom Tov, it's us on the second day Yom Tov. Why? Why is it us? Because we treat it like Kedusha Richter, one long Kedusha, and therefore remains us on both days. The Gabe, this instead of burial, we treat Yom Tov Sheni as Taka, as more of a Suffolk, more of a Dindra Banan, and therefore the Gabe burial, we're allowing even a Yid to bury, even on Yom Tov, even on Rosh Hashanah, we're allowing a Yid to be Isaac in the burial of a person that Nebuch passed on. Now, Dayamar, Ach, Beis, and the Day says, Ach, not only is Kvura Matar Yom Tov Sheni, Beitz is also mutter. To my dieta, but to me, he argues in the whole Gemara from yesterday. We had all these opinions saying that the Beitz remains usher on the second day of Rosh Hashanah. Various reasons, but he says usher. Now the guy says, no, it's mutter. Why? To my dieta, to my abrilate el. What's your issue? Because maybe Bezdin made el a full month, in which case the second day of Rosh Hashanah is really Rosh Hashanah, and therefore you have really both days of Rosh Hashanah have to be considered a kedusha. Answers deflects the Gemara. Ha'amar deflects the people of Nadai. Deflects the people of Nadai. Ha'amrav chinna barchana. Amarav miyemais Ezra ve'elach leimatzinu elam ober. From the days of Ezra, Rashi points out that once happened during Ezra's days, but from the Ezra's days and on, basically only one time in history do we have that Elul is mubber. Elul is never mubber. They never make Elul a month of 30 days. If Elul is never mubber, then Rosh Hashanah is always the first day of Tishrei, which means you never really have to worry about Rosh Hashanah being the second day, and therefore the second day is really more simply a derabanan, and therefore the basis it's really only also it's a sfeik adyem, but it's not really a inherent kedusha. And therefore, it's drabbanon is kadosh, and therefore, beitz shenol does be mutter marav shach, and kvura will be mutter as well. That is nardoy's shita. Amar mar zitra. Now, the truth is, the Torah actually explains very relevant to this idea that we don't find el is meuber very relevant. The Torah explains, we know even blowing shofar, today we don't, because today is Erev Hashanah. But we blow shofar, which is actually a question in this cheshbon. But the Torah brings various reasons why we blow shofar from the beginning of Elul. There's different reasons why we blow shofar. One of the reasons is because from Elul to Yom Kippur is 40 days. We know Kli Yisrael once messed up on account of 40 days by Mount Dura, they mixed up the count of 40 days. So in order to strengthen our count and make sure we don't mess up, we blow shofar every day from Elul till Yom Kippur. So it should come out, by the way, first of all, that we should be blowing during Yisrael's Meshuvah. We should be blowing, we stop by Rosh Hashanah. According to that reasoning for blowing shofar, it shouldn't just be Elul to Rosh Hashanah. It should be even through Yisrael's Meshuvah. We know we don't blow today because the Arvus is Satan, but the point is, we should blow every day till Yom Kippur based on that. Now, one of the cheshbonos are, if that's the case, then you only have 40 days if you blow on the first day of Rosh Chodesh Elul. If you only start on the second day of Rosh Chodesh Elul, then you're not going to have 40 days. You only have 39 days. So the chayrut should come out, if that's the reason why we blow, one should be blowing on the first day of Rosh Chodesh Elul, because Elul itself is never Me'ubar. So Elul is always going to be 29 days. So to get to 40 days for Yom Kippur, you'd have to blow on the first day of Rosh Chodesh Elul. And we don't do that. The minig seems to be, we only blow on the second day, if Elul is Tuesday Rosh Chodesh, we only blow on the second day of Rosh Chodesh, not the first day. L'maisa is very interesting. Meir Feinstein, Zatzal, brings that a person should never change the minig, even though this, based on this logic, he should be blowing on the first day of Rosh Chodesh, should change the minig. But if one is starting a new shul, and there's no minig in that shul, says Ramesha, they should start blowing shofar, not the second day of Rosh Chodesh Elul, the first day of Rosh Chodesh Elul. Every year we blow shofar in Rosh Chodesh Elul. It says, Ramesha, this shul should start on the first day. If it doesn't have an established minig, you don't change an established minig. But if it doesn't have an established minig, start blowing on the first day in order to get that full 40 days. Okay. Says the Gemara, Amar Mizrachah, Le'amarin El Deshtai, Avalei Shtai Mashinalei. This thing that I take care of Mesim, the people that have died on Rosh Hashanah, on Yom Tov in general, is only when there's a concern that the mace is going to decay, especially in the warmer months. This is the mace is going to decay and it's putrid and it's not covered up bias. Aval Laishtai, if the mace is not going to decay even if it's left over, the machine delay, then you do postpone it. Now, the reason I'm giving you whether it's going to decay or not is relevant somewhat to the elements. It's even more, first should say more than that, it's very interesting, it's really Medukin Rashi. This chiddush, you're allowed to bury someone even on Yantiv, is talking about a case where the person didn't just die on Yantiv. I took for granted he died on Yantiv. Rashi's Lashon's Mashma, if a person has a mace in front of him on Yantiv, which is Mashma, the mace already happened before Yantiv, and for whatever reason he didn't just bury, still it's Teichi Yantiv. Even though there was, theoretically, you should have said that you should take it before Yantiv, still you're allowed to bury on Yantiv. So some of us want to explain over here when we say Leishanu, it's almost that the case specifically is where the mace died before Yantiv, because if the mace died on Yantiv, the mace won't go putrid between when it died till after Yantiv, because that's such a long period of time. It's Dafka, already died before Yantiv, wasn't buried. Dafka in that case, are we concerned? That's how some of us are actually explaining this Gemara about the Mashinon. You make it wait in a case where it won't get putrid. Again, everyone has to be Mishire, how long is considered the mace is getting putrid? It could be if it's left unattended in warm weather, even for a couple of hours, it starts to get putrid. But the point is, Dafka, when it's becoming putrid, are you allowed to be Deichi Yantiv? I am your Lakam, I am Yid. But if it's not becoming putrid, you cannot. Says the Gemara of Ashi, no. Even if the mace is not in danger of decomposing, you don't let it wait. My time up. This second day of Yom Tov, legabe meis is considered like chayal. Meaning, so let me just clarify what we said a minute ago. Doing amir lakum is always mutter. When the meis is going to, I'll cover the meis. Whether worried about decomposing, amir lakum is always mutter. First day of this mutter. On the second day Yom Tov is where we're saying a yid is allowed to be isik himself directly. We gave a qualification according to Mar Zutra Dafka. If the mace is going to be decomposed and get smelly, then you can do it. If not, Mar Avash says no. Yantiv Sheni Legabe Mace is like Chayel. It's like weekday, and if you don't have to stick it, make Cheshbonos. Will it decompose or not? Whether we're considered by decomposing or not, a yid could be Isaac and Yantiv Sheni with the mace. It could be busy with the mace. I feel the Megas Leglima, the Megas Leasa, even to cut the tachrichin, even to cut the branches to make it smell good that you put up by the mace. All these things are permissible. Yom Tov Sheni Legabe Mace is like a weekday, and you can do all these things. Here's a discussion: how far we take this idea? Kachol Shav Rabbanon that the Rabbanon made the second Yom Tov Legabe a mace like chayil, like weekday. It's a mechalik Rishonim. Does that mamish mean like chayil or not? Meaning, Mechaber in Siman Tovkuf Chavav writes, there's no way you need to get a guy. Meaning, on the first day, obviously you only let a guy. On the second day, We're saying that a yid could do himself, you don't have to get a guy. But would there be an Indian to get a guy? If it's mamash techel, adarab, it's better not to get a guy. Let the yid be asik in the nifter, and not have a guy be not let a guy get involved. Is there an Indian to get a guy? Mechaber Taka says, there's no Indian to get a guy, and the guy seems to agree with that as well. The Ma'arga says, no, Avadi still should preferably, in such a case, Chalila, Leilenu, one should preferably use a guy as opposed to a yid. It just means you're allowed, he's allowed to do it, it's like Chayil, that he's allowed to do it, but not that you're allowed, not that you should take a yid when a guy is available. Another afkmin is about taking money. Let's say a person, this is his profession. He has a business where he does burials, that's his profession. Could he charge money if he's Isaac in his burial on the second day Yontif? If it's mamish kechayil, he could charge money. Like Gabi Mesis kechayil, he could charge money. If it's not kechayil, if it's just a dispensation that we said it's mutter to do it as if you do a chayil because of the covenant of Brias, but it's not really consider chayil, then avade, he would not be able to take money for these activities. The Maisa, again, Ramesh Zatzal, he paskins that Bisman Hazeh, we have freezers, Bisman Hazeh, we have other means of preserving the mace, and the chayra, there's no real concern of the mace becoming, of the nifta becoming putrid, and therefore there's no longer a heter to bury on yantar. Ramesh says, the heter to bury on yantar, somebody with this classical Ramesh, if Chazal were around today and they knew the means that we had to protect. Ramesh goes both ways. Ramesh said this idea also, like Avi Shabbos clocks, that Chazal made a tekana of Amir Lakam in order not to be Mechal Shabbos, so to speak. Idea guy, do all you look idea guy. So they said Amir Lakam, because otherwise the spirit of Shabbos would be lost. If Chazal knew about Shabbos clocks, they would have asked that also as Amir Lakam. It's a very interesting approach Ramesh takes that many other Gedolei Peskim don't have that place as to say what Chazal would have said had they been around today. Ramesh very much uses that approach in a few places, both Lakula and Lachumra. And Ramesh writes over here that a person, we should not be burying Mesim on Yom Tiv anymore, even with a guy or an Ayan Malchim, because there's no, at least I should say even the guy. Yidin, for sure not, on the second Yom Tiv, should not be relying and burying Mesim out second Yom Tiv, that's like Chayil, because we're not really so concerned these days about the mason becoming putrid in that one day, and therefore it's not an issue. But Ramesh does write, those who have the meaning to do it can still do it, it's fine. He's suggesting that we shouldn't do it anymore, but those who have the meaning to do it still do it. It seems like the Chassidim didn't all take on this idea of Ramesh. In the more Litvish world, it seemed to be more Machmer Ramesh, and the Chassidish world not. Although there were people, I remember when I was a Bachar in Israel, I actually ate a meal, unbelievable, this was a briska, someone from Beis Brisk, that his mother had died. I'm pretty sure it was Rosh Hashanah. His mother had died, and they buried in the second day of Rosh Hashanah. So they buried his mother. And I actually he ate the meal as Yom Tov. So he had a regular Yom Tov meal. We still ate the meal. He didn't want to. He didn't want to cancel on his guests. So we ate the meal. I forget if we were aware of Shas Ma'aseh. We found out only afterwards. But we actually ate the meal in his house that same day, and they were Isaac. They were Isaac in the burial on Yom Tov itself. Okay, so again, there are those that are lenient. Bermesha, the Bermesha, the Sina discusses about whether or not you let it come back. Is the heter to bury include the heter to come back, travel back to the yishuv on Yom Tov or not? Is that included in the heter? Obviously, he's going that there still is a lenient, this heter of burying on Yom Tov still exists. Varai is debating where they go back. He says, Pashas, these days you cannot come back because most places these days where we bury have a room, a house, a place where someone can sit and remain the rest of Yom Tov. There's no excuse to come back. Why can't you just stay there till Yom Tov, coming after Yom Tov? So Elamai says you should stay there. But the bottom line is, that seems to be his inclination. But the point is, he's clearly still talking about Bzron Hazeh, about bearing on Yom Tov. Okay. Says the Gemara. Amar Ravina. The Idna Dikachavri, a new Svara. Now they have Chavri. These are Chavri. These were Goyim that used to force the Yidden to go to work for them. And the Yidden at least got a reprieve on Yom Tov, because they say, it's Yom Tov, we can't work. We can't do Malach anyway for religious purposes. So Chashina. Now we don't do burials either, because we're scared if you start doing burials, they're going to say, what do you mean you don't work? See, you're burying people. And therefore, we put them back to work. So that would be another reason to stop burying people on even on the second day of Yom Tov. Ravina Abiyasik made the Rav. This is unbelievably appropriate time sensitive Gemara. Ravina was sitting in front of Rav. Ravina was sitting in front of, they switched the same from Ashi, because right, Ravina and Rav is too far apart. Earliest to Amaram, latest Amaram. Ravina was sitting in front of Rav Ashi, Amar Shana, Chazidav Atziv. And Ravina saw that Rav Ashi was Atziv. He was sad. Amalei, Amay Atziv Mar, why are you sad? It's Yom Tiv. It's Yom Tiv. Why are you sad? Amalei, Delay CV after Shilun, because I didn't make any after Shilun. But on that line, why are you sad? It's Yom Tiv. Very important to bring that there is this, if it feels like sometimes there's a stira when it comes to Rosh Hashanah, what's the appropriate feeling? The answer is because there is a stira. That stira is not a stira, it doesn't mean we can't conquer it, but there is a human stira going on. It's a day of judgment. It's a day of awe, of judgment, of being trembling with Fehabakam, and that leads to fear. But it's also still yomtiv. It's a yomtiv that we're being mamach Kadosh Baruch Hu, and that we know that the one that we are being judged by is the one and only is a Kadosh Baruch Hu. So at the same time, it's a yomtiv, and the Torah brings Shechnar, and we go dressed in our suits. We don't go dressed in black clothing to our court case as if it's going to be the worst thing in the world. We go dressed in suits because we're batuach and the Neis Hashem is going to do. So this combination of not to take for granted that there is a judgment and we have to be shaper maaseichem, but on the flip side, we're celebrating who we get to be shaper maaseichem in front of. It's actually a machlokes in the Achronim. Rabbi Yisrael says it's a mitzvah to cry on Rosh Hashanah. It's a mitzvah to cry because we're in judgment. It's a scary time. A mitzvah to cry. The Gaon says it's aser to cry. It's yom tov. How can you cry on Rosh Hashanah? Aser to cry. We see that this theory plays itself out not just amongst ourselves, even already in the Achronim is already a discussion of how to approach this idea. So the answer is it's a balance that both are clearly in effect. It's a yom tov. And it's a very scary time at the same time. Okay, but if you bother, so why are you utziv? So the point that I'm trying to have here is utziv is certainly not an excuse. Utziv means like depressed, like sad. You're not going to be sad. A person could be scared, cry over his averus, cry over not living up to what he's supposed to be doing, but crying over, begging over, having a great year in the future, but to cry over being sad, that there's no excuse. So he's not talking about I'm sad. A separate reason, I'm sad because I don't have averus of shilin, I'm not going to be able to have food for Shabbos. Amar lei. Why don't you make one now? You can make an Erev Tashilin or you have to make it tonight. Meaning, let's say it was Thursday. He sent them on Thursday Rosh Hashanah, make it tonight. If today's Rosh Hashanah, that means tomorrow's not Rosh Hashanah, so that means tomorrow I'm able to cook anyway. And if today is not Rosh Hashanah, that means tomorrow's Rosh Hashanah, so that means I'm still able to make Erev Tashilin now, tomorrow, for tomorrow. So make Erev Tashilin all tonight. That's what we say. By Rosh Hashanah, we consider Kedusha Richta. We don't consider a suffix today or tomorrow. It's one little Kedusha. Does that tonight still apply? So he says back, yes. We just quoted from Nadai that they held the egg as mutter, even Rosh Hashanah. We do treat it like Aliyam Teifim. That's a very nice answer according to Nadai, but we don't hold like Nadai. Therefore, this answer, this Eitzah, is not a great Tzvar Shana. It's a great Tzvar Teifim, but not a great Tzvar Shana because we don't hold like Nadai. Itmar. Efrech Shenelet B'yamtiv. A chick that was hatched on Yamtiv. Rav Amar Aser Shmuel Amar Vitem Rebechon Amar Mutter. A chick that was hatched on Yom Tov. Rav says, again, we discussed until now, an egg does not be Yom Tov. We touched on the chick a little bit with the klipa, with the shell a couple of months ago, but now we're going to focus on a similar idea to our Mishnah. We focused on a beitza until now. Now focused on the chick actually hatching on Yom Tov. What's the status? So Rav says, Aser. Shmuel says, or Yecha says, it's mutter. Rav Amar Aser, Muktzah, it's Muktzah. Very simple, it's Muktzah. It wasn't fit when Yom Tov started, and therefore it remains Muktzah. With Shmuel Amar, because we crack open the egg, the shell, and there's an egg, there's a chick that has a hatch can, just finished there. It's actually Aser, it's Sheretz. It's a Sheretz Aser, it doesn't have a hatch yet, and therefore it remains Aser throughout the whole Yom Tov. Shmuel Amar, Vitei Merecha, Mutter, why? He has Bechidish, Hayil, Umater, Atzma, Veshchita. Since it becomes Mutter with Shchita, it's Mutter now, the Muktzah is gone too. Meaning, now that it's hatched, the Isser till now, they couldn't do Shechita. Falls by the wayside, you couldn't do Shechita till now until it was hatched. Because it's a problem like Sheretz. We call it, it's a Sheretz. You can't do Shechita. But now that it's hatched, you could do Shechita. So since you could do Shechita, you also take care of the issue. The Heter now of Shechita takes care of the issue of Muktzah as well. What the lumdus it is, Rashi says, Rashi seems to say, almost like the word of the Gemara. It's like a Migu. Now that once it's fit for Shechita, it's fit on the Muktzah as well. The Pnei Yeshua takes big issue. He says, I don't understand. Pnei Yeshua, of course, was the big defender of Rashi. He defended Rashi against various questions. Over here, he leaves Sarakin. States. I mean, that's the first Kasha Rashi, it's Kasha Mishat Gemara. I mean, he actually gives different Shat Gemara. But Kasha Rashi, what's this just a simple Svara that just because it's Mutter Shechita, it should be Mutter Al Smukta? What's the connection? What's the Migu over here? As I think, sure, the Smeach wants to give a little bit of an explanation. You know, let's just take it at face value. Like Rashi is saying, that's some sort of Migu that once it's Mutter for Shechita, it's Mutter also for. Yeah, I'll tell you, the Smeach is saying this, big Kiddush. Our Smeach is saying that the idea is that something that is in the veld, but not really existing yet. I'll explain what that means in a second. That has dinam neilut. Something that wasn't even in the veld yet bechlau doesn't have neilut. So, for example, when we talk about rain that falls on Yom Tov or Shabbos, at this muktzah, it's a problem of neilut, and therefore it's a concern of muktzah. It's neilut. That's dafka because the rain was already in the clouds and it just fell. So, yeah, it didn't fully exist. If it was there, but it didn't fully exist and it became into existence on Shabbos Yom Tov, therefore it's muktzah. But something which is considered to not have existed bechlau, ironically enough, that's not, it's less of a problem. Neila has to be part, like partly in the veld to get a psal neila. If not in the veld, then that wouldn't have a psal neila. Big kiddush, that's what I say over here, that this considered to have, be nothing, it was nothing till now, and now it gets new at the shechita, it's as if now, even though of course the egg was there, the chick was inside the egg, so it's a little bit kiddush, but it's considered there's nothing till now, now it becomes something, and when it becomes something, no longer is it an issue of muktza, nor an issue of shechita. Okay, either way, so a machlek is whether you can shech this chick or not. Why is this chick any different than a calf, a baby cow that was born in Yantiv, that we don't consider a muktzah? And why, Rav, are you saying that the chick is muktzah? Because the calf was mutter agav the mother b'shchita, famous din of Ben Pekua. We had this, is the name of a parrot in Chulin, that if you shech the mother animal and a vlad, there was a uber inside the mother, the heter shchita of the mother is mounted the vlad as well, mounted the pup, the animal as well. So this calf was always mutter agav the mother, whereas the chick had no method of being mutter until it was hatched. Ask them one second. Why is this different than an eagle that comes from a trefa? By a trefa, you don't have the heter shchita of the mother. And still we're saying in that case, it's the vlad is not mukta. So the chayr, this egg should be the same, and it's still should be, it should still be mutter. Why is Rav saying it's also it should be the same as a, yes, you can't compare it to a calf born to, from a mutter animal, but you compare it to a calf that's born from a treifa. Shasak Rav, Rav was quiet. It was a good kasha. Al Rav Yitim Rav Yosef, my time Shasak Rav, why was Rav quiet? Lame Lehi could have said, hayal mukha agab iman, look love him. Shmak asfara. That the mother calf was treifa. Now Lech says, what do you do with the treifa? Like Kelev Tashlichon, I say, you throw the treifa to Kelev. The mother was already fit, was not muktzah, because it was fit for the dogs on Yantif. The mother was fit for the dogs already on Yantif, and therefore when the Vlad, the baby calf, is born, it's also going to be mutter, because it's considered it wasn't muktzah, because it was fit to the, for the dogs, agav the mother, and now it's fit for humans, but the point is, it was always fit, it was never muktzah. You can't compare that to the case of the case of our of the chick. So Amalei, so says Mara, Lamele, Hail, Mukha, Agavim, Mele, Klavim. Amalei Abaye says, you know why Rav didn't offer this answer? Tapa, Beis, Hashtu, Mukha, Adam, Lev, Mukha, Klavim. Something which is fit for Adam is not considered fit for Klavim. So you're going to tell me that which is fit for Klavim is fit for Adam. If it was fit for Adam, it's not considered fit for dogs. Certainly, it's fit for dogs, not considered fit for Adam. That was the far. That was the reason I want to suggest where Rav didn't want to use his answer. That which is fit for Klavim is not considered mukhal Adam. Now, where do we see that which is fit for Adam? If a man is not fit for Klavim, Yitan, because we learned in the Mishnah, you know to cut the gourds in front of an animal, the nevela carcass in front of the dogs. Rabbi Yehuda Aymer, in lois nevela merv Shabbos, asur. Rabbi Yehuda says, no. If it wasn't nevela merv Shabbos, it's asur. Why? If this animal is not nevela merv Shabbos, that means it's fit for humans. And if it's fit for humans, it's not mena muchan for animals. Muchan leklavim. So that which is fit for humans is not considered fit for animals, and therefore would be mukta. So in review, do we see clearly in Tesis, will by the way exactly see the Brisa, that which is fit for humans is not fit for klavim, but it's pretty, on a basic level, it's pretty clear in Yehuda's memory that if it was fit before Shabbos, before Yantiv, for humans, it remains mukta the whole Yantiv Shabbos for dogs, because once it's fit for humans, it's not fit for dogs. So on the flip side, Mukhla Klavim, Mukhla Adam, you can tell me that which is fit for dogs is fit for humans. The Gemara says, yeah, that's not a Taina. So Abaye was coming to say, and that's where Rav didn't use his answer. The Gemara says, no, Rav should have used the answer. Why? Because you can't compare it to a two-way street. So that's the Gemara, very simple. Amalei, everything here is to serve out the mankind. And therefore, in Mukhla Adam, we have a Mukhla Klavim. That which is fit for humans will not be used for dogs. However, that which is fit for a person, he's not going to give over, he's not going to use on the dogs. However, that which is fit for the dogs, if for whatever reason it becomes fit for humans as well, it is considered mukhal adam. The daite, the inish, akom, midi, the chazal. It's very simple. A person's das is whatever is fit for him. Whatever is fit for mankind is considered mukhal for mankind. But what's fit for mankind is specifically not fit for dogs, because you're not going to use it for the dogs if it's fit for the man. And therefore, mukhal adam is not mukhal klavim, but mukhal klavim is yes, mukhal adam. And therefore, Abaye's, the Gemara's question, why was Rav Shasak, why didn't Rav answer? And since the sheikh is mukhal klavim, it's also mukhal. It's also mukhan agav iman klavim. There was mukhan also it's mukhan adam. So taka kakasha. Why was Rav Shasak? Why he didn't offer the answer? The Gemara Abaye's deflection is disproved. Tanya comes to Rav, Tanya comes to Shmuel. Vitei Rebbe Yochanan. We have a right to Rav that the chick that was hatched in Yantiv is usser. A right to Shmuel Rebbe Yochanan that the chick is mutter. Tanya comes to Rav, black and white brisa. Eagle shnol beyantiv mutter. An eagle, a calf born yantiv is mutter. However, a frech shnol beyantiv usser. A chick that was hatched in Yantiv is usser. U'mahafish benzelzel was the chilik. Simple. Zemuchan gemi mishchit. Zemuchan gemi mishchit. Zemuchan gemi imay. The calf was mutter the whole yantiv and never had its shas isser because it was mutter when it's in the mother's stomach via shchit of the mother. And it becomes continuously continues to be mutter when it's born by its own shechita. Whereas the chick that wasn't hatched yet, it was still in the shell, that was not mukta the whole time, and therefore it was mukta, therefore it's a problem. That's black and white, a braisa like Rav. Tanakh of us the Shmuel, we have right to Shmuel, that's mutter, this egg that was hatched, this chick, egg shenel, beyond mutter, the fractional yant of mutter, my taima, zemukrak of imai, the zemat atma beshkita. Again, that's word for word, like Shmuel and Rabbi Yechanan, or Rabbi Yechanan, I'm not sure who says it, that what? That it's considered mutter, the chick that hashed, because just like it's mutter, now beshkita, it also, the mukta issue falls apart, we didn't have to clear explanation of that, it's like a migu, like a, but it becomes permissible. Okay. Tanur Rabban. Efrayach shenelet biyam tivaser. And Efrayach, that was a chick that was hashed on Yantiv, is Aser, a Buzbiakam Eimer, Afbachel Aser, Fishinis Bachmeinav. So we have another Shita about this chick that was born on Yantiv, but it's really focusing on a different Nakuda. Till now we focused on the Nakuda of Mukta, now focusing on the Nakuda of whether it's considered yet fully viable and ready for Shita. So we quoted, we referenced this price the other day, but here's where Machlek is black and white. Tanakhama says Efrayach shenol biyantiv is aser, going like the shita, let's say like Rav, that's aser because it goes like the shita of Rav, that's considered muksa, it's considered a problem of it wasn't mukhanagam imai, fine, that's the Tanakhama. But Blaz Me'akav is coming to Mimchadish, that no, forget about yamtiv, even during the week it's a problem, forget about yamtiv, forget about muksa, because until it opens its eyes, it's not considered fit as a food yet, says the Mark, why not? Come on, Azal Tanya, Chol Sheretz, Sheretz, Arts, Le Rab is afraid of Shanif Tchaneim, the Pasuk says any Sheretz that creeps on the ground, you're not allowed to eat them because they're considered a shakets, they're considered a te'eva. What does it come to include? That's the Rabbi, it comes to include a freichim. Who is that going like? Come on, come on, come on. It comes to include a freichim, they open their eyes. If they don't open their eyes, they consider like these like crawling critters, crawling shkatzim, and they still remain usher. That's the Kabbalah's Me'akam, who says that the chick is usher. Amar Avraham Rav. Beitza misyasa nigmara. The beitza, as it comes out of the mother's, as the egg exits the mother, that's when it becomes fully formed. It's not considered completed until it comes out of the mother. Now, Lomay Nafkamina, Maimi says Nigma. Look, I mean, what din are we saying that upon exiting the mother is it considered fully formed? If you want to say that it becomes considered full form and now it's mutter with milk, because this is one of the most fascinating things about the egg. The mother, the egg, the mother, the hen that laid it, is the chicken, is considered fleishiks. Again, it's Madarabana Pashas, right? But it's considered fleishiks. It's meat. You can't eat it with milk. The chick is meat. The egg which comes out, and the egg which is in the future going to be the a chick, theoretically it would have been a chick, is considered pyro. It's not a problem. It's not, which shouldn't be so crazy. And within the cow itself, the cow itself is meat, yet the milk that comes out of it is the source of milk. The things are not pointing out a phenomenon that's stira, but the point is that in the beginning, the egg itself, at some point, is changing from a status of being part of the chick and being like fleshings to becoming this notion of power, of its own entity of power. So when does that happen? We want to say, maybe you know what happens? Upon the exit. Maybe that's what happens. When it comes out, and that's what it means, that it's yasin nigmura, it's nigmura status. It says the Marba, it's not true. Is that so? If we are saying is the chiddush is only when it comes out, is it considered parav nigmara? But when it's in the mother's stomach, when it's in the hen, it's still considered fleishigs. You can't eat with chalav. But it's not true. But time goes by. Says Shachar Tanigalos. Who months of a beitz of gemurais? One of Shachar Tanigalos that finds the beitz gemurais, which we said a couple of ago, uncommon case, not so common. But right, because normally if it's ready to come out, it just comes out. But theoretically, if someone can shecht a hen and find fully formed eggs inside, what's halacha? Mutter lachem b'chalav. It's already mutter milk. We don't say it's considered fleishigs. It's already mutter milk. So that can't be the chiddush because it was already mutter while still in the hen. Ella, what's the chiddush that comes nigmar on its way out? Ella, im yitziyasa nigmara umiteres lachem b'yamtev. What it means is it becomes fully formed that as long as it was exited the hen, it's fully formed. And therefore, Yantiv is considered mutter, is considered mukhan, if it came out before Yantiv, it's considered mukhan Yantiv. Make it to it. But if the egg is still in the mother's stomach, inside the hen, then itaka is going to be usher on, if it comes out, on Yantiv. But we said that one of the Shechts Tanagos and finds basic words is mutter. That's the actually recorded the price a couple of back. We said over there we're not geyser because it's milsla shricha before we said it. But the Maiz says mutter, so that can't be the chiddush either. So what is this chiddush that we're saying that an egg meets yas when it comes out becomes nigmura? Look at me what? Ask for a second. Maybe the Maiz is telling me something the Misha didn't say. Hanamitanina, Beitza Shinoda Biamdev, Beishama Imrim Techel, Beisil Imrim Leitechel, Vatan the Pikisham Beisil, Elbenelda, Avabmeiman, Devar Kalshar, and everyone agrees while still in the mother's stomach is Mutter. So what on earth is the Chiddush of this din? Vachitema, maybe you'll say further, no? Beisil Afilu Meiman Amiasri. Maybe that's good for what we're trying to say, that in our Mishnah Beisil's Angra Beishami was Mutter, then when it's Nailan, he's Mutter. But maybe Beisil even argues when it's in the mother's stomach, even there he argues, and that's good for the point we're coming to bring out. And the Mishnah fact that said Lashon Nodo is come to teach you the Chiddush of Beishamay, which is the Kerech Teira, which is how we would normally do it. Dafinod and Amishari, El Hadatanya, Hashem Hashem Gosh Matz Beitzim Gemurais, Mutlachem Yantiv, Le Beishamay Beisilol. That the price of money, who's going to be the author? Lebisham Bevisilol. Who's going to be the author of this price that says that one who shechts Tanagolas and finds Beit Gemurais aside is Mutter? It's not going to be Beisham Bevisilol, because according to Bevisilol, it's going to be Aser. According to Bevisilol, even if it's Nailan Ayantiv, it's Mutter. So who would that Mishnah be according to? It must be that even Bevisilol agrees to that Mishnah. And therefore, back to the question, then what is this Chiddush that when an egg when it comes out of the mother of the hen, it's considered nigmar. Legabe, what is that a chiddush? Let's just read one more line, and we'll stop. Elam isyasa nigmar umegadelus efreichim. What Rav had to say, Rav's memory was that when the egg exits the hen, it's considered fully nigmar, and therefore it can produce a chick. Nafkamina is whether or not it can produce a chick, whether this egg can form into a chick. Once it comes out, it's shaykh for it to come to a chick. If it didn't come out yet, it's not considered fit for a chick to come out of it. What's nafkamina? Lagabe mechamempi. We're selling eggs that can form into a chick, or eggs that can't form into a chick, probably different values, different prices. So nafkamina is not a halachic din in terms of isav heter, but rather in terms of business, mechamempi, whether you can sell it as a viable chick that can form into egg or not. And the Mara is going to be a story to back it up. We'll go over this last line later. In Mitzvah, we will have another daf today. A good thing for those that won't be there. We'll have another daf later today to cover tomorrow, the first day of Rosh Hashanah's daf, and then we'll pick it up in Mitzvah again after Matzah Yom Tov, the second day's daf.